The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black-on-black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. Well, we're back again, and I got something I really, really need you to bring to your attention, Alan. I don't know if you heard about this book we'll be talking about. The title is Please Stop Helping Us by Jason L. Riley. And the subtitle is How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed. And I want to add to that, succeed in their neighborhoods and in America and in American society in general. This book, I've only read half of it, but it has blown me away. This is a book that is well-researched, is well-annotated, and he has the research to back him up, and not just his own research. He cites research by many well-known academics and educators in this country, and if anyone doubts his facts, he's made it easy for them to research it and dispute it if they can. But as far as I'm concerned, if I were king, every black person over the age of 13 would be required to read this book. Like I said, I was just blown away. I would just like to discuss with you a couple of items that I headlined while reading the book. I guess the first one is, because it's in the news right now, is the minimum wage laws and how they were originally designed to limit black employment. Let's take the Davis-Bacon Act on the federal level. That started back in, I think it was 1930s, where a contractor won a bid to build a veterans hospital in Washington, D.C. He was bringing black laborers up from down south. And the unions, which were people by mostly white construction workers, noticed what was happening, and they exerted their influence, got government involved. The result was the Davis-Bacon Act, which basically set a minimum wage. And let's face it, if you got to pay top dollar, especially in the 1930s, no white construction company is going to pay a black man top dollar when he could get white labor. Simple as that. And that's just one of the things that Jason L. Riley brings out in his book. So what do you think?
Well, this is my first time hearing of this Jason L. Riley individual. I look forward to reading his book.
You got to read it.
You know, I definitely agree with the fact that minimum wage laws actually hurt African Americans. I would much rather work for less and have the opportunity to work.
Right, and gain skills, gain experience. But let's face it. Say, for instance, the liberals got their way and they doubled the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really think that employers are going to, number one, keep the same number of employees, and number two, retain the same low-skilled employees? Because if you double the minimum wage, you're going to make that job more attractive to people who have more skills,
exactly,
more education. So it's going to hurt those very people that they're supposedly fighting for, a higher minimum wage.
But liberals don't think things through. They just want to create the appearance that they are doing something to help somebody, regardless of the fact whether it actually helps somebody or not. And we see that they have a history of that, and I think that history of that particular mentality is what has contributed greatly to the demise of the black community.
Yeah, well, again, if the minimum wage is increased, then that's going to mean that employers will want better qualified and better educated employees. And that brings up the topic of the low priority as far as education in a lot of black communities, especially the urban communities, where you see the graduation rate in some cities down around 30 or 40% or even lower. And even the ones in some of the inner city schools that graduate, their education is equivalent to maybe an eighth grader out in the suburbs.
Let me give you my theory on this whole thing with regard to education from what I can see. Number one, liberals try to, and Democrats, they try to lead people to believe that they're genuinely interested in the education of minorities, especially minorities in the urban core. That's just not true. If it was true, we would see a measurable difference between now and when liberals actually set out on this effort to do something about education, that, well, the education of minorities, in particular minorities in the urban core. So what I would say is that I actually believe that liberals are genuinely interested in making sure that blacks aren't educated, because that keeps us in our place and that keeps their voting base
and dependent
in place
on
and
them.
Dependency in place. Because if they keep us uneducated and dependent, then it's very easy for them to come to us election cycle after election cycle and make us promises about what they're going to do. And, you know, and those promises are just promises of more welfare and things of that nature. And I don't think that we'll ever find a case where welfare led to somebody becoming wealthy.
No, not at all. And the other part of that is the teachers' unions. In his book, Jason Rowley really exposes how the teachers' unions worked to keep the education of the inner city or urban blacks at the point that it is, so they can always try to make a case for more money, more staff. And basically, that benefits the union, because the more teachers, the more staff they have, the more union dues flow into their coffers. But they work against improving black education. I tell you, it opened my eyes. It's just amazing that this man put this all together in a concise form. You got to read it.
Let me put another spin on this education thing. I think that we can all agree that liberals control the educational system.
Right. Yeah.
And that is by design. Not because they're genuinely interested in educating these minorities. What they want to do is indoctrinate them. They understood that they needed to control the educational system in order to indoctrinate blacks. And then you say, well, what are they indoctrinating them with? Now, let me tell you what they're indoctrinating them with. If you read Saul Alinsky, he talks about how there is no room for religious dogma in his movement, in his liberal radical movement. People like Alinsky and his counterparts realized very early on is that what we have to do is we have to take this very religious dogma segment of our society, and we've got to begin to remove that religious dogma from their mindset. What better way to do it by controlling the educational system and deprogramming these people and removing this religious dogma from their mindset? And what do they do in these schools today? They introduce all these things that go against black people and their religion and their faith. They introduce to large numbers. They have black people signing on for abortion, gay marriage, and many other things now. And that all has been ran through the educational system. We're being educated, so to speak. We're being taught to identify with these things, accept these things that we have historically rejected.
Well, yeah, I can agree with what you're saying. But what really needs to happen is black people need to understand that to really seize opportunities, they have to be educated. Now, you can have politicians trying to make changes or whatever, but if you're not educated, if you're not qualified, then you don't have a chance to seize those opportunities.
And I'm assuming that this came from Jason Rowley's book, and it says, a culture that takes pride in ignorance and mocks learnedness has a dim future.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, and let's take a look at that. Let's look at how corporate America emphasizes blacks to be ignorant and unlearned. For example, let's look at the corporations that are backing the music and the music and that culture that we see in this music, which talks about rebelling against the system, disrespecting women, disrespecting the rule of law, and all these things that hold a society together. Mm-hmm. And what do you see the young black generation is now doing? They're embracing this ignorance. They embrace the right. lack of being educated, because once when you want to talk a certain way, walk a certain way, educate yourself, they say you're acting white.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And also, they kind of glorify the thug life.
Absolutely.
Which is really anti-education.
Yes.
It's anti being qualified to be a contributing member of society. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, if you're into the thug life, eventually your activities are going to hurt the community. And more right. than likely, it's going to hurt you and your future, because you're going to wind up in prison sooner or later. So it just seems to me that we're missing a component of education, that people are not pointing out what we should not be doing.
Right.
They don't put a voice to it. Nobody's stepping up saying, you, Mr. Drug Dealer, and you, whoever else, into whatever criminal activity, you're destroying this community. You know, you're an enemy of our community. And we need to get you out of there. This no snitch rule about
that
not calling
police. That is ridiculous.
Right. That only helps to keep the community down and keep these people who are basically bloodsuckers within the community and helping to suppress economic development. That's why a lot of businesses leave. That's why we have food deserts, because the stores are afraid of getting robbed. There's rampant
crime, theft.
And so you have a situation where economic development leaves because we don't want to call these people what they are. They're criminals and they're
scum.
Right. They're sucking the life out of the black community. There's another aspect of this that goes along with the thug life. You don't see in the rap videos or the movies or anything, you don't see black men taking fatherhood seriously.
Right.
And in any culture, black, white, or purple, if men don't take care of their children, that culture can't survive.
It can't. And here's what's so important. You know, it's just like this morning, I'm getting breakfast and everything together, getting my kids ready to go to school. But they know every morning they're going to get a speech. You know, it's just a football coach, he gives you a speech before you go out to the game. A basketball coach, he gives you a speech to get you prepared for that game.
Right.
Well, every morning I give them a speech about what your job and your responsibility is and what you're going here to do. Mm-hmm. And what your job is. And my son, you know, little Allen, he loves basketball. But I told him basketball yesterday, he didn't want to read what he had to read. He had to read it five times. That was his homework. And he complained, well, I've read this four times, but I don't want to read it a fifth time. And I had to explain to him, let me tell you something. There's no basketball without schoolwork.
And that's what we need to do. We need to show not only just the good side of reality,
exactly.
but we need to show the reality of the bad side of what the consequences of one's actions. If you don't pay attention in school, if you don't do the best you can in education, your life is going to be crap. You know, you're going to be dependent on the system. You're not going to have very much to pass on to your children. But for somehow, that component of education does not get taught. And I don't know why. I guess people think that it's a responsibility of parenting, and I agree with that to a certain extent. But still, I think it needs to be reinforced in the classroom.
One of the big hurdles that I see is blacks are more conservative on the issues, yet they support liberal Democrats 90% or more at the ballot box.
That I really truly do not understand. Because when you look at the history, and I'm not talking about back in the 1700s, 1800s, I'm talking about in the last 30, 40, 50 years. When I say we, I mean black people have supported liberal Democrats to a very high percentage. And they've sort of repaid it with all these poverty programs, different kinds of affirmative action and social affirmative type programs. But has it really made a difference in the black community?
Well, let me
when
tell
you look
you
at the overall poverty rates, it really hasn't made that big of a difference.
It hasn't made any difference. And the reason why blacks have supported Democrats is because we are so gullible and we don't know the facts. We're uneducated. We were talking about education, but we are uneducated voters.
I think a big part of that is the leadership. The black leadership has a large percentage of the black population bamboozled into thinking that they have their best interests at heart, and the liberal politicians have their best interests at heart. And these poverty programs is the way to go, is really their only saving grace, I guess.
These so-called black leaders are doing what is economically advantageous for them at the expense of millions and millions of black people. And that's a problem. So my personal goal is to one day awaken the black people to where they rise up and they cut the head of the snake off. And I'm talking about these poverty pimps, these Jesse Jacksons, these Al Sharptons, these guys that claim to be the leaders of the community. And what they do is terrible, because they are literally leading a whole community of people straight to hell.
Right. but they get paid. They deliver the vote to the Democrats and the liberal establishment. They deliver that. They help deliver that black vote, and then they get paid off.
Wait, just look at Ferguson. Look at Ferguson, Missouri. What did Jesse Jackson suggest? Oh, we need to have a voter registration drive. Hey, that's what it's about. And when he said that, that was cold talk to the Democrats. Look, we're going to get these niggas out here together. We're going to get them voting. We're going to get them registered to vote. And we're going to make sure they get to the poll the first Tuesday of November doing exactly what the hell we need them to do. By the way, I need my check.
What was preventing them from going to the polls before the shooting? I don't see anything.
Laziness. Being uneducated.
I can't really argue that.
If you're properly educated about the political process, you will bust your ass to get there.
Yes. Yes.
To see that you can go in and hopefully contribute to the type of impact that needs to happen. Unfortunately, right now, we think we're supposed to run to the poll and vote Democrat. They have a monopoly on the black vote, the Democrat Party does. And that monopoly needs to be broken.
Well, as long as you have a large percentage of liberal black politicians being controlled by the Democratic Party, I just don't see any change coming from within that party. Is going to have to come from the black community. And if 90% or more are voting for these people, and I'm not just talking about black politicians, I'm talking about the liberal white politicians. They get a large chunk of the vote, too. Where is the change going to come from?
Where is the incentive?
We're going to wrap this
segment up, and I'm going to make this statement here. The change can come through the Frederick Douglass Republican movement started by K. Carl Smith.
Okay. You got that in,
and Alan McIntyre, my Low Information Voter Project. And I also am a Frederick Douglass Republican.
Okay. Frederick Douglass, from what I've heard about you, you guys might be the answer. But until then, I would recommend to any black person in the sound of my voice, purchase that book, Please Stop Helping Us, by Jason L. Rowley. It will open your eyes, and it will expand your mind.
Amen. And that's what Douglass said. Douglass warned against entitlement, and he said he didn't want, when the slaves were freed, he said, no, don't help them. Leave them alone. Let them do it on their own.
Well, Frederick Douglass and Jason L. Rowley, they would have got along just fine. Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.